Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Getaway Friday. Friday, May the 21st, 2021, 5/21/21, 16 minutes past the hour, and we've got a great first hour for you here on the program today. At 8:30 this morning, we're going to be joined by legendary television personality, the amazing Kreskin, who's going to make a big announcement on this program. You remember him, of course, from Johnny Carson and David Letterman and all the appearances he's made over the years. But for the first 15 minutes this morning, we are very glad to be joined by a person who was on this show earlier on in the year. She is the mayor of Dayton, Ohio. She is now a candidate in the Democratic primary for governor 2022 here in Ohio. A lot of stuff to talk about in 15 minutes, so let's get right to it. We're so happy to welcome to our microphones this morning, live, Nan Whaley. Mayor Whaley, how are you?
Great, Scott. How are you doing this morning?
It's good to speak to you again. Everything's good here in Ohio when the weather's like this on a Friday.
No kidding. It's just beautiful. On Monday, it was like high of 60 in Dayton, and now today it's like high of 88. You got to love Ohio weather, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be a great, great weekend, and hopefully holds out for Memorial Day.
I hope so. But it's nice to see both the weather turn and see people getting vaccinated and our ability to really open up our communities and see people we haven't seen for over a year. It's a nice springtime in Ohio right now.
Absolutely. Mayor, last time we spoke earlier this year, you had not made up your mind whether you were going to run for governor or not. You said you had to talk to your family more. At that time, you had already announced you were not going to run for mayor for another term. What swung the decision to run for governor?
Well, for me, Scott, I think it was really the understanding that, you know, I've been mayor of Dayton for 8 years, and we simply just have not had a partner in Columbus. And I look at communities and families across the state, and they don't have a partner in Columbus. I mean, I think Ohio deserves out of the state house. We've had 3 decades of the same political party making decisions that are more about extreme politics and lining their political pockets and their personal pockets than really what's on the minds and what people need in Marion, Ohio, and in Dayton and Marietta, you know, where people are working longer and longer hours and getting paid less. And, you know, I think we can do better in Ohio, and it's time for a change.
Mayor, when it comes to your announcement, the announcement video, you spoke of corruption in Columbus, as far as the Republicans go. Are you referring directly to Governor DeWine, among others, in that corruption?
Yes, I mean, I think the issue with Governor DeWine is this has been going on with people in his staff, with his appointments, like Sam Randazzo. Larry Householder, who has been indicted, sits in the State House and introduces bills, and you haven't heard a peep from Mike DeWine. And look, I just think he's too weak to stand up to the extremists in his party, to the people in his party. This is a system that he has benefited from because he's been in office for 47 years, and he's not strong enough to stand up to it. It is clearly broken. It clearly needs a complete overhaul. What we see decade after decade is scandal after scandal after scandal, increasing. This latest actually puts the cost of it on everyone's electric bills, and nobody's willing to do anything to change it. And Governor DeWine should. He's the leader of his party. He's the leader of the state. He should call for more action. And as long as Larry Householder sits in the state house and introduces bills from his party, he is not doing enough.
Mayor Whaley, coming up on June 2nd, you alluded to it there, the health restrictions will be lifted in Ohio. I think everybody wants health restrictions lifted, no doubt at all, but the numbers we have seen as of yesterday, people vaccinated in Ohio is in the 40th percentile overall in the state, a little over 42%. And here in Marion County, 65,000 people, from our health commissioner yesterday, 35% of the population vaccinated. We are heading to June 2nd very, very quickly. Is this the right time to lift all the restrictions when we're not even at half yet, half vaccinated?
Look, I'm just as ready as everyone else for our state to open up. You know, as I mentioned before at the beginning of us talking, Scott, but I want to make sure that we're doing it based on science and not political calculations. You know, I think it's very interesting that this stuff was all lifted in Ohio, right, as we see primary challenges from the governor on the right. Look, as leaders, we cannot play politics with people's lives, especially in a public health crisis. And I think we have to be very thoughtful about how we open up and make sure that, you know, we are really, really driving home vaccination.
If you were governor right now, would you have opened up Ohio with the numbers the way they are vaccination-wise?
Well, I think what I would do is, you know, there's lots of, you know, as governor, you have lots of access to data and experts. And what I've done in Montgomery County, for example, is listen to public health and CDC. And so, you know, when my public health says, like, yes, it's time to lift the mask mandate, then we lift the mask mandate. When my public health said it was time to put the mask mandate on, we put it on. We were the first city in the state to do so. So I think listening to those experts and following the data is the most important thing to do.
With the data we have right now, does it seem like a wise decision on your behalf to open up the state, lift the mandates?
Look, I think the biggest issue for me is how the decisions that the governor has made have been based on political calculations. I mean, again, we saw this back last month when he, you know, said he was last year when he said he was going to have a mask mandate, and the next day he took it off the table. This was like late April, early May, and it was completely for political calculations. So when someone does that, I can't really say whether they're doing it for the data driving it, and especially since he changed, you know, his bar every single time, I can't believe that he's really making his decisions on data. Now, what would I have done? Look, I have to be honest. Like, I mean, I don't have the experts that I'm not privy to the conversations the experts are having with the governor right now. I can tell you what my experts in Montgomery County told me. And so lifting the mask mandate was driven by those decisions of public health and the CDC and nothing else.
I want to talk about that political calculation argument there, because a lot of people know that Governor DeWine has been at odds with his legislature, Republican legislature, over this health crisis pandemic for quite some time. And I believe the date was June 23rd that was set by the Republican legislature, in which they said they were going to introduce a bill to lift these health mandates if they were not lifted by that point. And then after that was announced, Governor DeWine did announce that he was going to lift them on June the 2nd. Do you believe he did that just because he knew that was coming on June 23rd?
Look, I don't know what's in the mind of Mike DeWine and how he makes his decisions, but I do know it seems very interesting that each time he makes a decision around COVID, especially, I mean, ever since Amy Acton has left, it has been based on, you know, we've seen a push from the right and then him fold every single time. And we saw this, too, in last year where, you know, the cities had to put the mask mandate on. The cities had to put the stay-at-home advisories on. So, you know, we've seen over and over that he has done things in the past for political reasons. So I wouldn't be surprised if this decision was political reasons here.
Probably the biggest news in Ohio right now is Vax-a-Million. It has made national news. Earlier this week, most of the late-night comedians have made fun of it in a way. That was in all the Ohio papers and national papers this week. What do you make of this $5 million, 5 weeks drawing by the lottery, overseen by the Health Commission, announced by Governor DeWine, that will start May the 26th?
Look, I want to do, we need to encourage people to get the vaccine because it is our path to continue to get out of the pandemic. So, I'm encouraged that people are continuing to get the vaccine in my community, and I hope in your community too, Scott. But we also need to be thoughtful about how we use taxpayer money. And I hope that DeWine's abrupt changes in overall these health care or these health orders, the Vax-a-Million, came from consulting with experts, not from straight political calculations. And I'm concerned that that's not the case. I think, you know, we want to be creative in how we go after, you know, encouraging vaccinations, but we also have to, you know, protect the taxpayer dollars, which is also very important.
Were you surprised that $5 million and the money it will cost to cover the college tuitions for 5 weeks was being used in this way for money that was sent from the federal government to cover the vaccinations?
I was a little surprised. It's definitely a creative idea. I know everybody has an opinion on it, overall. I do think, we do have to think of ways to get people vaccinated, and there's these folks on the fence that we have to be, both in our local communities, statewide and nationally, we have to be thoughtful of. I do think we have to balance that with, you know, protecting the purse when it comes to taxpayer dollars, and that's my concern. This is a pretty rich number when it comes to throwing away taxpayer dollars.
Do you think this is a political calculation?
As I said before, Scott, I don't think anymore, the governor is making any decisions based on science. I think all of his decisions are based on politics.
That being said, overall, how do you rate the first term of Mike DeWine at this point?
Well, look, I wouldn't be running if I didn't think we could do better these past 4 years. And I think really what we've seen is a person who I do not dislike, but someone that is just not strong enough to stand up to where politics is today. We have really extreme ideas moving around this country. And, you know, Governor DeWine will, I think, says things that he personally doesn't believe in order for political calculations. And look, I think Ohio is continuing to get further and further behind. And we see this just 2 weeks ago, for example, when we lost another congressional seat. Look, if this kind of leadership of the past 3 decades was making progress in the state, we would be growing, we would be thriving, we wouldn't be having people having to work 2 jobs to make ends meet. And if these people had ideas, we would have seen them by now. And so I believe it's really time for something new if we really want to move Ohio forward. That's, I think, the challenge about the opportunity in this race and why I decided to get in it.
There has been a big question with the final 3 minutes we have here about this Vax-a-Million. First, really quickly, if you were governor, would you have done something like this, do you think?
Well, I certainly, applaud creative ideas that will help people get vaccinated. I don't think I would be, lottering federal tax dollars, in this manner. But I do think there are other creative ideas that can be done to really encourage vaccination. And we see those across states. And I think I encourage that kind of thinking. We just can't sit and say, oh, well, people won't get vaccinated. We have to do things to incentivize. I mean, the sad thing about this way is only 5 people are really going to get any sort of incentive for vaccination. It's an idea rather than an action. It's a pretty flagrant use of taxpayer dollars, I'd say. So I think that's where most Ohioans are feeling. It's getting a lot of national attention, but inside the state, people are a little more moderate in their ideas of how tax dollars should be used, frankly.
With 60 seconds left here, 2 quick questions. First of all, how would you describe Governor DeWine in 1 word?
In just 1 word?
One word, so we can get to the other question quick.
I would say he's weak, frankly.
Weak. And the other question is, we had former Governor Ted Strickland on the show, and one of his concerns was that will Mike DeWine be in the room when this lottery is drawn on May 26th and subsequent weeks, and will it be announced at press conferences by him who the winner is? If that does happen, does that seem very political? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that yet, if he's going to be there or how that's all going to be handled.
Well, you know, it is strange to have someone that's running for re-election to be pulling someone and giving $1 million to a citizen every single week. Look, but as I said, I think that all of these decisions show that he's making political decisions. And I think also we need to make sure we have to have transparency in this, right? I don't have a lot of trust in this situation when we see the $2.1 billion of unemployment fraud that Mike DeWine's managed, and just the lack of transparency that's made the state be called the most corrupt state house in the country. So we need to make sure there's transparency there.
Mayor Nan Whaley running for governor of Ohio on the Democratic side. Mayor Whaley, I hope this is a regular stop for you when you can make time available.
Hey, Scott, I hope so too, and I hope to, thanks for all you're doing, and thanks for keeping Marion informed. Have a great night.
Thank you, Mayor. Bye-bye. Mayor Nan Whaley, how about that? That's a good way to start off your Friday morning. Now you have heard from the, really, I think you would say front runner in the Democratic primary at this point, although I don't know that any polling has happened, but she certainly, I believe, has more endorsements than anybody else at this particular point. We are going to take a quick time out here and come back with our guest for the remainder of the hour. Don't you dare go anywhere. WWGH Radio, your place for news.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, 1210 to 2 p.m. Guest you won't want to miss, like Clarence B. Jones, advisor, confidant, attorney, and co-author of the I Have a Dream speech to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
And I cannot thank you enough for coming on to have this frank discussion, because a lot of people wouldn't have. And you came on short notice. Clarence Jones, a friend of this program, I hope you come back again.
Well, I came on short notice because, God, I admire your journalistic integrity. You asked probing questions. You respect my answers, even though you may not agree with all of them. At least you accord me the professional respect which goes along with your craft. And so your listeners are very fortunate to have a broadcaster of your abilities and your broadcast journalism integrity. So I'm always pleased to be on your program.
Tough but fair is what you always hope they say about a journalist. Tough but fair.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 1210 to 2 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, Friday, May the 21st, 2021, 5:21:21, 33 minutes past the hour, and we thank the front runner in the Democratic primary for governor, Nan Whaley, for making available 15 minutes for us this morning to kick off the program. It was a last-minute booking for the first 15 minutes, and she came on live, and we appreciate that. But so much news this week here in Ohio with the Vax-a-Million $5 million giveaway over 5 weeks starting next Wednesday, and it was our first chance to talk to Mayor Whaley about her gubernatorial run since she announced it just a few weeks ago. But now, for the remainder of this hour, we turn to a gentleman who has an announcement to make. Actually, he made it last night via his internet program, which is a great program to watch. He's one of my favorite guests, but I can't imagine this. We haven't had him on since around New Year's, when he made his New Year's predictions, his annual predictions for us. So it's been nearly 6 months. How does that happen? He is the world's foremost mentalist. He was a favorite of Johnny Carson, David Letterman, Sally Jesse Raphael, and certainly a favorite of mine for nearly 20 years now. We've been doing these interviews on radio and television. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones for the next about 26 minutes here, one of my favorites, live and in your living room or car or workplace, wherever you're listening, the one and only, grab something and get ready. Here we go, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
Scott, it is true, you know, I'm looking at my notes here and a picture of you, and to think that it was a half a year ago, it was
that we last spoke. I mean, my good, I'm thinking to myself, was I on another planet? Or maybe Scott, you know, he was calling me from Mars or, no, I'm only kidding. It's good to talk to you, but I miss your voice. And when we think of what's happened all these many months, Scott, you know, what did I hear? I got to ask you something. What did I hear this about a $5 million what that's going on?
Oh, yes. Oh, Chris,
what's that about, Scott?
I got to tell you about this is interesting. The vaccination numbers here in Ohio are somewhere between 40% and 50%. Actually, in the county I'm in, are about 35%.
Yeah.
So our Governor Mike DeWine, last week came up with an idea that if you have been vaccinated, you will be entered into a drawing to start next Wednesday, May 26th. And for 5 weeks, if you're vaccinated, they're going to draw a name out and you could win $1 million. $5 million will be given away.
Given away. Oh my God. This is unbelievable, you know. And it's in your city. Is it in your town or in the state?
It's across the state.
Across the state. Isn't that my goodness? Now you don't plan to win anything like that yet. I don't think so, Scott, because we're not going to be searching for anybody. But that's fascinating. I want to tell you something. Next, you're going to. I guess next is going to open a casino of some kind. I don't know what it's going to deal with. You know what's crazy, Scott? I mean, we've got to joke a little bit about what's going on, but the messages, and I have had a lot of private shows because, of course, people have asked about how I've been working the past year because, of course, you can't have public shows in many areas since the amount of people allowed in is not going to make it profitable for the owners of the companies and what have you. So I've done a multitude of private affairs. Tonight, last night was in a private home in a town hall. So it was about 70 people, and I performed for them, and I've seen them in the past. But at the same time, things have changed so dramatically in our lives to think that we haven't gathered together that much. And the other thing that's really serious, and I was with some police last night because I've worked on 86 crime cases in my life, and I've never gotten much publicity, never sought publicity for such. My brother was a policeman for 20 years after he left the Marines. And I tell you, I'm sorry, in spite of all the controversy, we need the police in every city in the United States. But they're telling me how traffic accidents have increased incredibly in recent weeks and months. And it isn't because, and this is what's interesting, you probably have talked about this, Scott, but it isn't because there are more cars on the roads, because in recent months there has been less traffic, except certain days when there's been vacations or special events or what have you. But the reason they think it is because some people have gotten out of the habit of driving, and some of the caution that they're conscious of sometimes slips our minds, if you know what I mean, Scott.
You know, I can believe it, and the one thing I want to say about this vaccination process before we move on to another topic is, you know, I never dreamed, for good or bad, that, and it's called Vax-a-Million, that something like this would happen. And again, I'm not being critical and I'm not being positive.
No, of course not.
I just think it's a very interesting thing, and clearly it's being done because vaccination numbers are not where we would like them to be. What do you make of that, Kristen?
I think you said exactly the same thing, and people have become very uncomfortable about. Also, Scott, let's face it. I mean, I'm constantly aware of media messages and what have you, and of course, you more than anybody would be because of the work that you're in. But when you hear the messages of authorities on the illness and the disease and how some of the messages have changed, and then some have saying, now it has been said, and this has me furious at this point. I'm trying to remain very calm. when the police told me this last night, and other people said, yeah, Chris, it's already been mentioned it on TV, there are some people who have been involved in the rehabilitation of people who could have been exposed to the disease and what have you, some suggestions that we may have to have a new shot every year the rest of our lives. We may have to have. And the only thing that enters my mind is what entered the mind of about 17 people who heard this remark when we were having dinner after my performance at a table, and that is, you mean they're finding other ways to make tremendous amounts of money on this whole scenario? That's, I mean, to suggest, we don't have any evidence just yet. I talked to somebody this morning, and someone, people I know, they say, Kreskin, there's no evidence that we're going to need to get another shot every year the rest of our lives. And they said nothing further. I don't think the public, and I'm speaking for the public, I don't think the public trusts the communications that are taking place, because they've seen the contradictions. They've seen the contradictions off and on for a number of weeks. It's been suggested by one great authority on the disease, and I'm sure you know who I mean, Fauci, that we may never be able to shake hands again. Well, I don't wish to go into that right now, but folks, His Holiness Fauci, do yourself a favor, and thank goodness a number of investigators who are research people said, Kreskin, pick up this book. Pick up a book that was written about him before this disease ever hit the world, before the disease we've gone through the past year and a half. Pick up a book about him and read the exposés, the incredible financial involvements that he's been in through the years. The man is brilliant. He has wonderful rackets going from him. I don't think he wants to end the racket when the disease is finally resolved. If I've spoken very critically, it's because I've just about had it with some of the pronouncements being made by these people.
You know, Kreskin, right at the beginning of this pandemic, we had you on, and some predictions were made, and here we are over a year later. What do you make of this year that we've had that, like it or not, has certainly changed the world, at least for a year?
You know, and it's interesting because I want to share this with you folks tonight. I have a very special event after one of my shows. It's actually late at night, and people who have purchased tickets for it, I do these about once a week or once every 2 weeks. I decided, and psychologists have told me, and sociologists have said, Kreskin, something like this is needed. We're glad you're doing this. And that is, I'm holding special seminars. In most cases, they're by the internet, and people will be at their home and what have you. One man has purchased 15 tickets for 15 different people. Each are going to be watching the event in their home. And it's an interaction between myself and audiences. We're not numbering it more than 40, 50, 60 people. But what I think I have to do, I owe it to it, and that is to owe to the public a feeling of returning to, and returning back and readjusting to the life that we've had. We've really had a confusion set up and a lack of clarity and an uneasiness. People are not comfortable anymore. They haven't socialized for a long time. One of the greatest mistakes ever made in the history, and by the way, when the books came out, I've talked to two authors already and say, Kreskin, we're devoting most of my book to such and such. These are researchers and what have you. And that is that we shut down schools and we shut down grade schools and what have you. Now, there are some states, of course, that did not shut down schools because the contagiousness is not as severe amongst young people and what have you. But and it's very interesting that teachers were still getting paid even though they were not teaching school. And parents, as you know, in some states are now arousing great protests and want their kids to go back to school. Because I want to tell you something, Scott, aside from the terribleness of the disease and the terrible losses that were made, one of the great losses has been the year that young people have not spent with each other in a school situation. That is a disaster. And we have not seen the full repercussions of it. I shouldn't mention this, but it's an adult audience we have right now, and psychologist saying, Kreskin, we've seen the increase in suicides among young people and in people who are going to up to junior high and high school, the thoughts of suicide at times, because you can't really shut down a person's life where they can't play and what have you. And the genius of some of these people who suggested that during active sports they wear masks. Well, you've seen the videos of people who've almost died because they've collapsed while they were playing, running and so forth. And one was just shown to me because the kid was running. And when you run, you need to be able to breathe more freely. And with the mask on, they were not breathing sufficient and collapsed. Now, I have worn a mask, I guess, two or three times a week. When I'm at a certain appearances, of course, I have to wear a mask. But I run. For 50 years now, I run 20 minutes every day. I've only skipped two or three days in my life. I run, and I run vigorously because it's the best way I find of thinking. I don't advise other people to do it. I suggest going for a walk or going with a group of friends. But the running for me is an exercise, not only in breathing fresh air, but in thinking, because I tune into something that we're no longer doing anymore. We're not thinking about and reflecting upon our own inner thoughts. People no longer in the past year, and people have told me that even in the newspaper field, they're not doing it as much. But and police have said to me, Chris, and I work with police a lot, so I know how they think, and that is, when you have meetings, whether it's someone you just met, whether it's someone you're falling in love with, whether it's a person you just are going to work with, whatever the thing is, it's not unusual in the past to, when you walk away from it, get to yourself and kind of reflect upon the experience, who you met, what they had to say, the peculiarities, and we don't have the habit of doing that much anymore. And that's one of the excitements of life, to reflect upon things.
Now, Kreskin, I wanted to make sure I get to this. The world was alerted that last night on your YouTube program that airs on Thursday night, What's On My Mind, at 8 p.m., that there was going to be an announcement made that would alert the American people of a major crisis discussing children in grammar school through college.
Well, let me just say this. We're at war. It's a world war. I am not an alarmist. I rarely, rarely talk like this. But the enemy is within the country, certain members within the country, and members outside the country. I'm not just talking about communist China, although the amount of buildings they now own in New York City is staggering. The fact that they own now a network is staggering. And also, we now have children that are being taught here in New Jersey. Numerous people I know are taking their kids out of grade school because beginning with kindergarten on, as I'm sure you know about, you must have discussed this, it started with colleges 4 years ago when it was being prepared, and I couldn't believe it was being prepared, but we're now reteaching our history, and we're showing how the threat of the white influence was taking place and all this crap, the stupid, asinine, imbecilic crap, which is, I think, made by degenerates, but it's not the case. It was started by researchers, history professors in universities. And by the way, when you go to a university today, examine what you're going to study, because some universities are not teaching what they once taught. But the reason I held this this announcement, something came up that's very, very interesting, and that is it fascinates the NFM. And if I only have a couple of minutes left, tell me, because I do want to get all my points across, some of them across. And that is Scott, that in around two, and you may have discussed it even then when it happened around 2007. But one of the research journals called Nature did a study of artificial intelligence. And the reason I bring this up is that I've written 22 books my current one, people can pick up the Adventures of the Amazing Kreskin, and you can look online and that, and look at how to pitch purchase. I'm very excited about that. But I wrote about the fact that we're going to see an incredible dynamic in the way we the possibilities of communication, and some of it is fearsome, and some of it's exciting. Well, this one gentleman had a very disastrous accident taking place almost 2 decades ago, and from the neck down was unable to communicate, could not hear, could hear, but could not speak, and what have you. And what they did was, and this is exciting, and that it and gives hope for humanity, but what they did was, finally, a few years ago, I don't know, have the exact date now in front of me, they put two microchasms in his brain, the size of baby aspirins. And no, he cannot speak. He has still this paralysis, but they have found, and listen to this, that if he thinks certain words and spells them out, because of the electronics that they've been able to put together, the electronics will print on a page, electronic page, exactly the words he's thinking of. And it's reached a point, this is oh my God, it's reached a point that while we can write, if you took a pen on him, maybe it's 17 words a minute, or I forget what it was, 23 words and so forth, that by this mental technology that they've achieved with him and his brain and the item in his brain and what have you, they can reproduce almost 17 words. So there is the great possibility of communications. This is a what they're now trying to teach some other people to do is to picture their hand writing a word. And in some of the cases, the word has appeared on an electronic notepad. So it shows you the incredible possibilities. Now, by the way, this has nothing to do with my work as a thought reader. When I read people's thoughts, people concentrate, they're conscious, we communicate with each other and what have you. So, and I don't use special electronic techniques. I've had an offer because people can fake what I do by using electronic techniques. But I'm not bothered by that anymore, because now for a number of years I've offered to anyone who could prove I use electronic techniques the sum of $1 million, and there's no one in the world who's even been tempted to try to collect the money, because I don't use electronics. But this electronic situation is an entirely different thing. It's a way of tapping in on the brain using electrodes that are planted within the brain, and it's offering tremendous hope. However, this is, let's not just talk about the electrodes. There is another side to this story, and that is that we are not ahead in this area. Communist China, and by the way, I'm not a communist. I despise communism. I think it's one of the greatest evils on the face of the earth and one of the greatest threats to this country. Anyone who doubts me, don't go to college. Just start studying history on your own. Start with Russia, how communism entered Russia, and how communism has destroyed the fabric of 5 countries in South America now, because they went in and people can no longer go there to vacation, because communism, the ambition is to take over nations and to control things. And they have succeeded to an incredible degree. But the other side of the coin is, I finally admitted this. For a number of years now, and I turned this down about a year ago, I was negotiating with China, Communist China, to appear in China. Now, this is long before I became aware of some of the activities planned in China and some of the activities in other countries or what have you. But the interest was, they wanted me to perform for 1 week, incredible amount of money and all this jazz. But I will tell you, I'm not in my profession solely for the money. I'm one of the highest and most successful in my field. I'm very proud of that. But that's not the reason I'm in this business in the end. I enjoy this business tremendously. And am I a fool? I turned down months ago, and people have said, Creston, make it public. Tell them, Senator, I turned down and refused to work for the communist government and refuse to do appearances for them. Because if you think that I'm being booked because they want to show the wonderful power of the mind or for the entertainment of what I'm... No, they're interested in unearthing all the techniques they can unravel and find in which they can learn what a person is thinking. They've already unearthed some very incredible techniques, because you can't go into certain cities now, and it's true even in the States, and look at certain pictures, and they will know how you feel, a person doing their proper research, how you feel about that product, or about that color, or about that dress, or what have you. Well, let me tell you that that's gone to a far higher level on the part of certain governments who are not interested in just doing this to market things, because they want to know how we think. And they want to be able to tune in upon our minds even when we don't want them to. And the inevitable aim will be to be able to control our thinking. And if you think in any way, Scott, that I'm talking about this for sensational reasons, I don't play games like this. I don't have to distort my work and what have you. We are at a very serious, critical point in history. And the amount of researchers that I know that tell me, Creston, if we mention all this to the public because we can't explain it, it's going to cause very great unnecessary uneasiness and what have you. But we have to realize that what I may have written about 4 years ago and what science fiction writers wrote about 100 years ago and so forth is slowly, potentially coming to the pass where we will have our thinking interrupted by when we're looking at something or gazing at something, and it will reach the point where it will be done even when it's none of their business and we don't want it to be any of their business. I hope, and our kids need to understand what is going on in the world. I don't mean that they should be frightened or what have you, but they need to understand, because this is not the light. We're not studying science and the world as clearly as we did a few years ago, because there are special interest groups that are interested in moving in certain areas. Now, I am, for example, I'm very much aware of this, and probably you know about it already. Sure, the avalanche of people coming into the because of the walls being taken down and so forth. Yes, that's become a very serious situation. And part of the blame of the amount of deaths of even young people is the President of the United States, because he tore down the walls and allowed the staggering, the press, the people that have been able to get there and come back and tell me, and police tell me, Creston, you can't believe what you see. This should never have been allowed to take place. We're in a very serious... And some of the kids coming in, all right, I didn't talk about this last year, I didn't talk to you about this 5 years ago and what have you, but some of the kids coming in, because of the staggering amounts of money made by the underworld from all over the world that's making millions of dollars, some over $1 million each day as they come over Texas and what have you, some are from the Mexican underworld. They're kids that are part of the Mexican underworld, children who've learned to embrace evil as an evil force and a religion that has pornography and other factors and even death as part of it. I don't want to be sensationalist, but they told me, the authorities, they found a box filled with the heads of a few dozen youngsters, because the way this religion is, it's out of control. Now, and I'm not saying that there are 100,000 coming into this country, but the fact that children are coming in, no investigation, and are now going into cities, as the investigators say to me, Christian, we don't know what ideology they're going into these cities with. Does anyone, including the president, or I understand the president is senile, senility is one of his factors, and that's the only way we can explain his behavior, and I've said it, and I hope I'm quoted all over the place, but we've got to realize the complications that are taking place when we're allowing people, not just the drug manufacturers and what have you, but people who have another interest in mind to slowly contaminate our society.
Kreskin, very, very personal and well thought out and candor. Just great candor there, and I really appreciate that. And on that note, with our 30 seconds remaining, because, we've been friends for a long time. I had an interesting thing happen. I was in another city in Ohio this past weekend, and I saw the hats out there already that say Trump 2024. It's very interesting. So my question to you is, and I know we did not prepare this, is what's your feeling on President Trump running again in 2024? You think it's going to happen?
Well, I think he's going to run again. I don't want to say the results and what have you, or how I would feel. I want them to be, but it should never reach the point where we argue about a political positioning and so forth. But I think so. I think there's going to be a search for other avenues, because I believe some changes are necessary in our politics today. I really think so. I think they've lost contact with the public, and I'm not suddenly defending Trump or a non-Trump or what have you. But we've got to wake up to what is going on. This cannot continue the way it is now. And money, by the way, I want to say one more thing. Don't for one moment think that tremendous piles of money is going to solve our problems. Study communism when it entered Russia, when they were first tearing down statues before Russia became communistic. And then they started editing what you could buy and what books you could buy. And then they started editing what you could kid about in public and what have you. Study the history of mind control. And we have got to get back to being the American public. We're united, we kid, we joke, we laugh, and we discuss things seriously.
There it is. Kreskin thinks that Donald Trump will run again in 2024. Kreskin, it's always a pleasure, not 6 months in between visits.
No.
And we'll talk again very soon. You stay well, my friend.
Be the good Lord willing, to be continued. To be continued, Scott. Take care.
Thank you. The amazing Kreskin and Nan Whaley, the front runner in the Democratic primary for governor. What other radio show in the world has that odd couple on first hour on a Friday morning? We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
For exclusive content.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road.